It's time for Stories from the Road with Baruch on WBKM.org.
Well, it's a few days after the election, and I feel exhausted. On the night of the election, I was anxiously watching television and the internet at the same time, and I felt a lot of anxiety. I'm not usually a high anxiety person, so I was aware that I was really reacting to what was happening, and had talked with lots of friends about that and was hearing the same thing from them. When the election was called for Obama, I immediately felt calmer. My anxiety dropped and it began to settle in. The excitement of the United States electing a person of color to the presidency, that's amazing. The idea that this election really was a repudiation of Bush and of the fascism, really, that the Republicans have been foisting upon the United States for the last 8 years. That was incredibly gratifying. And as the days have gone by, it's been settling in for me, and today I just feel kind of exhausted. I'm thinking, what comes next? There's so many questions. I read in the newspapers, I talk with people, there's so many questions. What will President Obama do? Will he close Guantanamo Bay? Will he hold the Bush-Cheney cabal responsible for all of the horrible things that they've done, not only in the United States, but around the world? You know, will the corruption in the government be exposed and corrected? Will the economy be put on track in a way that actually is healthy and realistic? You know, I don't know. No one knows. And so I'm left, like many people, wondering what happens next. At no time during the presidential campaign had any thought that a President Obama would be a panacea. I still don't see him that way. He may or may not prove to be truly progressive. He doesn't seem to be super radical, certainly. It's not clear what President Obama will do. And so I'm left wondering, what's the trajectory now of the United States? It's still true that this is the country where just a few months ago, stormtroopers tased and gassed and beat protesters outside the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. This is the country where gay and lesbian people are still being oppressed, denied equal rights, beaten, killed, transgender people. This is still the country where access to health care is completely contingent upon having money. This is still the country where the schools are not teaching the children to think, etc., etc. So that's where I'm at. I'm just wondering what happens next. I have some ideas that I think are good, and I'm going to put them out here. One thing we're reading about right now and hearing about in the news is how the auto industry is collapsing and how they want money. They want a bailout from the government, just like the banks got. Well, we already know that some of that money, a lot of money, tens if not hundreds of billions of dollars that have been given to these wealthy banks, is going to CEOs' big pay packages and fancy holidays for employees, and, you know, is not trickling down into the general population. And now the auto industry comes and they have their hands out and they want more. Well, my thinking is, let's bail out the auto industry, but only if they will start making super efficient cars and trucks. The auto industry has for decades suppressed fuel efficient vehicle designs because they have been and continue to be in bed with the oil industry. It has been in the best interest of the oil industry and the auto industry to sell vehicles that guzzle gas and pollute the air and generate huge profits for those industries. Well, what if that had to come to an end? And the message to the auto industries was, sure, we'll bail you out, but you have to do what we did during World War II. You have to retool and you have to start building vehicles that are efficient. Right now, I'm sure Ford and GM and Chrysler could be turning out cars that get 60 to 80 miles to the gallon. There's hybrid technology, there's hydrogen technology. So that's one thought. Let's bail out the auto industry, but they have to make vehicles that actually make sense. And if they refuse, let those companies fail and give that money to someone else who will make the right kind of vehicles. I have no problem with letting Ford and GM and Chrysler go down and letting someone else who's going to be creative and have integrity come in and make vehicles that make sense. How about nationalizing the healthcare industry? The idea that healthcare is a for-profit industry is just immoral. Of course, healthcare providers need to be paid. I'm a healthcare provider. I need to be paid, I need to live, but healthcare needs to be accessible. I'm not talking about access to health insurance. I'm talking about access to healthcare, to doctors and nurses and hospitals and acupuncturists and chiropractors and therapists and nutritionists and all kinds of stuff. So what if healthcare were nationalized? No more for-profit hospitals, no more for-profit healthcare. No more doctors making huge exorbitant salaries. No more pharmaceutical companies ripping off the public, selling drugs that hurt people because the FDA has been essentially reduced to a rubber stamp organization. I'd love to see healthcare really change in this country so that people have access. Right now, the Bush administration, in its final days, is in the process of reducing access to Medicaid for poor people. This cannot go on. How about making any law that passes have to pass muster on an environmental standard? Any law. Now, some laws have nothing to do with the environment, or so they seem. But what if everything had to pass a litmus test that it would be environmentally sound? I'm living in a state right now that's sparsely populated and has huge amounts of wilderness area and what we call natural resources in our exploitive mindset. In the county I'm living in, a zoning policy was just repealed during the election. The idea that the earth is here for us to use as we will is still prevalent. What if the Obama presidency set a standard for integrity in relation to the earth? I'd be all in favor of that. How about our prison system, which is increasingly run by for-profit corporations? Corporations with shareholders who are profiting on the misery of people who are in prison. How about changing that? I'd love to see that happen. Here's the big one, of course. How about our wars? How about our weapons production industry? How about really looking at that from the point of view of what would have integrity? Integrity. What does that even mean? The United States government has not had integrity in my lifetime, and I'm almost 50. What would it mean if we were to actually have integrity as a country? Here's a song from Garnet Rogers called Seeds of Hope, and we'll be back with more stories from the road after this music.
There is an end to night, dry your eyes. shake the shadow, the dark will run before the light. Take my hand and we will walk together. Take my hand, you will not walk alone. Take my hand, this night won't last forever. Are the seeds of hope we've sown? Season, follow season. There is no love, no prayer in vain. The hardest heart still looks for reason, as the driest earth still welcomes rain. Take my hand and we will walk together. Take my hand, you will not walk alone. Take my hand, the sky won't last forever. We'll harvest the seeds of hope we've sown. Take my hand and we will walk together. Take my hand, you will not walk alone. Take my hand, the sky won't last forever. We'll harvest the seeds of hope we've sown.
The election of Barack Obama, in a practical sense, means that this is an opportunity for change. That's what he was running on. And in a greater sense, it means it's an opportunity for every one of us to really think about what's working and what isn't. What needs to change? What are our priorities? For the last 8 years, many people, including myself, have been reacting to and responding to the horrors of George W. Bush, who I have to say is a psychopath, and so are many of the people he works with psychopaths. And when I say they're psychopaths, I mean these are people for whom business and money matter more than life. They lie, they cheat, they authorize torture and murder. I'd say that qualifies them to be psychopaths. Now we're presented with a situation where we will have a president soon who is not a psychopath. I think Barack Obama is not a psychopath. I think he is a caring person. I think he's intelligent and educated and educable. I think he's interested and curious and literate. But he is not a savior. He is not the answer to all our prayers. He is a person. He is a person with loyalties. He is a person who probably has some political debts that he owes. Otherwise, he never would have made it this far. So it would be foolish to assume or imagine or act as if somehow President Obama, simply by being president, will fix everything. He won't. He can't. The top-down model of power is still in place. And that is more problematic than any one person occupying a seat in that power structure. Yes, the Bush administration is a bunch of crooks, but the way that our society and our political structures are constructed allows, enables crooks to be in office. It's not like all the crooks just got thrown out of Congress. You know, some of these people are still complicit with torture and murder and invasion of other countries, etc., etc. So really, what this election is, in a way, is a metaphor, a symbol for each of us to look at what we need to do differently. What do I need to do differently? What do I need to change in myself, in my actions, in my priorities, so that I feel like my integrity is intact? Just because Obama was elected doesn't mean that we don't still have global warming, polar ice caps melting, huge numbers of species becoming extinct. You know, I don't mean to be depressing or focusing on the negative. I think life is beautiful and there's an incredible amount of joy to be felt. But I think realistically, one has to ask oneself, what am I alive for? What am I doing here? How am I contributing? There's each of us living our own little lives, supporting our friends, raising kids, doing jobs that hopefully matter, you know, to us and to others. But in the bigger sense, what am I part of? I guess in a way, this election really offers an opportunity to reflect. Maybe that's why I'm so exhausted. I just need some time to reflect and consider and wonder, to let the creative juices flow so that I can have ideas. Maybe that's something that many people need to do. Winter's coming. There's been a big storm in the Dakotas and heading a little east from there the last few days. They're all digging out from many feet of snow in early November. It's going to be a cold winter. There's a lot of folks who don't have money to eat and heat their houses. There's a lot of folks who don't have access to the medical care they need. The election is a good thing, but there's a whole lot of momentum that's built up that's energizing a sort of downward spiral in this country. And it behooves us to find ways to respond creatively, humanely, intelligently. So I ask you, the listener, what are your ideas? What do you think needs to happen next? What are your priorities? What do you wish for? Not just for yourself, but for all of us. How can this election make space for you to reflect and be creative so that it's not just the Obama family moving into the White House that's so exciting. It's all of us figuring out how to make our society work, how to form our lives around a healthy trajectory. These are lofty concepts, and I may sound even a little vague because it's kind of hard to find a way to say this stuff in a way that's really cogent. I've often said, out of confusion comes clarity. So maybe this is a good moment to sit with the confusion, to sit with the multitude of ideas and possibilities and sift through them, to take some time to sift through them and really discover what comes next instead of deciding. And to that end, I'm going to leave you with a piece of music by Herbie Hancock called Chameleon. There's no words, so it's a great opportunity to just let yourself drift into the music and imagine.
You've been listening to Stories from the Road with Baruch on WBKM.org.